This book is about reading China in the original, coming to understand its people, economy, and government in such a way that the truth is not lost in translation, as is far too often the case. I first realized this fresh perspective was sorely needed way back in 1997, when, as a teenager, I came to the U.S. as a Chinese exchange student. Dr. Lawrence Weiss, visionary headmaster of the Horace Mann School's Upper Division in New York City, anticipated China's future significance in the world, despite its much smaller economic and political heft at that time. He believed it was important to introduce an authentically Chinese perspective to the school's intellectual and social life. I was selected to help fill those gaps, eager in return to learn from the America that so impressed all of us back home. Having parachuted in from a geographically and ideologically far-flung land, I seemed exotic to my classmates. Outside of school, anytime I mentioned that I was from mainland China, a blizzard of questions followed. When will China become a democracy? Do you feel oppressed? How do you wake up in the morning knowing that you can't elect your own president? When will the Chinese economy stop growing? I was fortunate enough to live with a hospitable American host family who brought me directly into American political life. Fresh from communist China, I plunged straight into Democratic campaigns for high office in New York State, handing out leaflets and attending fundraisers. I met lots of well-informed, politically savvy people, but they surprised me by posing the same questions as my fellow students. It was becoming clear to me that even sophisticated Americans possessed only a simplistic understanding of life in China. Between the lines, I sensed sympathy for my having grown up in what seemed to them a backward country, with limited freedom of expression or political choice. But the China they imagined was far from the one that I knew from my everyday life there, not to mention that by 1997, seismic shifts were already underway in my home country. People's excitement and hopes were bubbling over as we debated the value of new economic reforms, our bid to host the Olympics, joining the World Trade Organization, privatizing state-owned companies, and adopting the technology of the West, including its cars, infrastructure, and business models. In school, our Chinese political science textbooks were in a constant state of revision as Marxist thought gradually morphed into socialism with Chinese characteristics. People in China were living more comfortably than they had in many generations. And every summer, when I went back to Beijing, during my years as an undergraduate, and later as a graduate student at Harvard, the city's skyline astonished me with its latest transformation. Fast forward nearly three decades to the present. Today, the backward homeland of my childhood has become the world's second largest economy, its massive new cities animated by astonishing technological wonders. Yet so much of the world is still asking the same questions and still comparing China to former communist countries with their autocratic and repressive regimes. Even when it comes to China's juggernaut economy, the world remains skeptical. China's economic model is running out of steam. The state is suppressing private entrepreneurs and stifling innovation. Financial implosion looms on the horizon. However, in 2008, it was the U.S. financial system that drove off a cliff, dragging with it a formidable array of European financial institutions and corporate giants. When so many other significant players in the global economy fell into the recession that followed, it was no longer clear that a one-size-fits-all economic system like conventional Western capitalism was necessarily destined to prevail. Many people today still hold the deep-seated conviction that China's present course will end in disaster unless it converges with Western values, economic systems, and political persuasions. Some of those who hold a more positive view of China's economic accomplishments also tend to see China as a threat. As an economist who grew up there, but also works in the West, with one foot in each world, as it were, I believe neither of these perspectives accurately reflects what is truly going on in China. This book proposes an alternative view, more nuanced, more complex, and hopefully more helpful.